to the book of Ephesians. If you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, as we are going to continue on the book of Ephesians today, and we have started a topic that is on Christian warfare. And we have been going on this series on spiritual warfare, and our naked eye cannot see this battle, but it's a spiritual battle. Okay, the Word of God has revealed to us that we as Christians are in a warfare. And that's why the church is called militant on this earth. The word militant, it doesn't have to be that we are always in a fighting spirit. We are not physically want to fight with people. That's not what it means here. The word militant, church, means that we hold to the truth of God and we defend the gospel, we proclaim the gospel. That's the word militant means. That is there's a spiritual battle that is coming against evil forces and the forces of God, and we are in the very midst of it, in this battle. Now, so we have been going through this, as we saw Apostle Paul gives the imagery of a Roman soldier, and how this Roman soldier is equipped with a great military equipment. And this military equipment is so well equipped that it can tear down the enemy's strongholds. And we saw some of those equipment. Apostle Paul is going through piece by piece of those equipment, and he's using those equipment in a spiritual realm so we can understand. And we saw that the belt of truth, and there are so many belt of truth has to do with the Christian doctrine and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many people who have a lot of truths, different truths, a lot of religions. And a lot of people say, I had the truth. Who knows which one is the truth? Okay, that's why it's so important to know what is the truth. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through me. So either Jesus is telling a lie, or everybody else are all liars. And I know my Lord is telling the truth because he rose from the dead. So we know the truth, belt of truth, that we saw that. And also we saw the breastplate of righteousness. And that is compared to our righteousness. Our righteousness is, we were dead in sin, we were slaves to sin, we were under the bondage of sin, we were in darkness, lost. Our righteousness was a filthy rag to the Lord, but it is once the believing sinner embraces the Lord Jesus Christ, it is His righteousness that covers us. And the only way we can go to heaven is not in our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And then we saw last week, we saw the shoes where the soldier wears, and we saw how Apostle Paul compares these shoes to an active soldier prepared to take the gospel to place to place. A soldier is always ready. Wear your shoes on. Are you ready? Soldiers are always ready. And the soldiers have a peace of mind. Peace of mind. That means even in the midst of the battle, we can have a peace of mind because of the gospel, that we are saved by the gospel, and we can take the same gospel to the people who have not heard, and we need to witness to those people. Now, today we are going to go on verse 16, as he says, in all circumstances, or some of your Bible says, above all, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. That's what I'm going to take today, and expose this part of scripture so it will benefit our souls today. Now, give you a little background here. The Roman soldiers had two shields, basically. Two shields. One was a small shield, and the other one was a large, big one. The small shield was used to combat in hand-to-hand combat. Okay? That was a small shield. But the large shield, which covered almost his entire body, it was like a door, basically, and it was about 4.5 feet long, 4.5 feet long, and 2.5 feet in wide. Okay, so Paul is talking here is not of the small shield, but of the large shield. Okay, so that's what he's talking here. Now, it's interesting, when the Roman soldiers, when they had those shields, okay, they are large, it covered their entire body, basically, and they were close one to another. And those shields, when the enemy sees them, they don't see anybody. They see a whole wall of shields, and they cannot penetrate. That's how powerful this shield was. Okay? Now, once you're born again in the Spirit of God, you become a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy gets upset, he gets mad, he gets offended, because we have changed sides. It's the Lord is the one who changed sides. He brought you from darkness to the marvelous light of Christ. Before, we were on enemy's side. We were enemies of God. Now, we are in the Lord's side. The enemy is upset, he's furious, and he will attack. And we are called to defend and resist the enemy. As the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down all strongholds. Now, Paul said, above all things, okay, but in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. That means the shield of faith is vital. When he says above all things, or in all circumstances, that means basically this is preceding, it means it's preeminent, it means it's most important. But you might say, well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, Apostle Paul says, now there is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all these is what? Love. So how can you say above all things? Well, you know, that how can you say that faith comes above all things here? How can he give much importance to faith here? Let me explain that to you. In this present state that we are living on this earth, we are militant, and it is our faith. It is not love that can conquer the enemy. It is only our faith that conquers the enemy. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. So it is a faith that overcomes the world. It is a faith that conquers. It is a faith that is militant. But love is the greatest, where love will be triumphant. Where? In heaven. Because faith will stop. His faith is going to cease, because we are not always going to be militant. When we die, we are going to be triumphant because of the love of God. Now let us see this shield very carefully, okay? The shield, what does the shield do? The shield protects the whole of man here, whole of the soldier. I want you to do is to just take it more from the top. Okay, and kind of go down. Okay, so the shield basically protects the whole of man and also protects the head, which is the most important part of the head. Enemy always like to kill somebody on the head, on the forehead. Now, the shield guards our head. In the head means, in the head we know the doctrines. We understand the head has to do with your brain, your thinking, your ability to know what is right, what is wrong, and what you believe. And so everything is in the head. And the head is important where the enemy will fire his fiery darts at a Christian. And he will use as a Christian, we need to use the shield of faith to protect from the enemy from these fiery darts. So, what does the head have to do here? Because head has to do here with where the enemy will shoot his fiery darts, so that what we know, enemy will try to deceive us on what we know. Okay? Through heresy and wrong doctrines and what we have learned, he will tempt us into false doctrine. But he will try to make us fall into false doctrines, tempt us into wrong doctrines. So many have been taken captive by false doctrines, as many have fallen into the enemy's arrows because they don't have the shield of faith. Now, at the same time, the shield of faith has to do with your head. This is very important to understand that many have the understandings of the good doctrines. Many know the Word of God. They know it in the head. But yet, many are not saved. Just because you know everything in the head, it doesn't mean that you are saved. So they are worse, these people are worse than the unbelievers. It is, actually, because they can camouflage and blend with the true Christians so beautifully, and you don't know that they are not saved. And basically, they are called the hypocrites. And they are no different than Judas. Satan knows the scriptures well, and so are the hypocrites, and they can quote the scriptures. Satan knows the scriptures than most other people. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 verse 6, Jesus said, Satan told Jesus, Matthew 4 6, if you are the Son of God, throw down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against stone. So here, even Satan knows scriptures. He knows scriptures, and many people in the church, they can quote scriptures. They know the things in the head very well. They know the scriptures in the head, but it doesn't mean that they are saved. Also, there are so many people who profess to be Christians, they believe in one God. Just because you believe in one God, it doesn't mean that you're saved. Because James chapter 2 verse 19 says, you believe in one God, so does the demons believe in one God, and they shudder. So what's the difference? So all the demons, they believe in one God too. They believe in God, but they are not saved. At the same time, there are so many Christians, they think they are saved because they know these things, but they are not saved. And there are some Christians who may even confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And they think, because I confess that Jesus is the Son of God, I am saved. Well, the demons confess that Jesus is the Son of God too. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 29, Matthew 8:29, And behold, here we see the demons cried out. And the demons told Jesus, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" They profess. They even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And here, you know, you can see, I'm going to show you why this shield of faith is so important here. Alright? So just because you profess and say that you believe in the Son of God, you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're saved. So, it doesn't mean that you know all the scriptures, you know it, it doesn't mean that you're saved. It doesn't mean that you believe in God, that you're saved. It doesn't mean that you profess Jesus as Son of God, you're saved. It doesn't mean that. Because we saw these scriptures in the Bible that the demons and the devil, they do the same thing. They believe it. Now, beloved, so the devil, the demons, and the hypocrites, they understand the word of God. They know it in their head. But they don't have the shield of faith. Now what if they don't have the shield of faith? What if this, what is this kind of faith that you need to have? This kind of faith is called a shield of faith that protects your head. So what is this kind of faith? It is called the justifying faith. It is called the justifying faith. Justifying faith is the saving faith. And what is really the saving faith? The saving faith is not only the head knowledge, but clinging to that knowledge. Embracing that knowledge. Loving that knowledge. Obedience to that knowledge, following that knowledge, that is justifying faith. Committing to that knowledge, that is justifying faith. Living by that knowledge in your daily life, that is justifying faith. Otherwise, a lot of people are being deceived. They are being deceived. And not only you confess with your mouth, but also you truly believe in your heart what you confess. That is so important. Okay? Now, this is an objective faith. Okay? There is an objective. This is our objective faith that our minds are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are believing on a person, Jesus Christ. His work on the cross for the sinners. As the unbelieving, we were unbelieving, but his work on the cross, that not only what he did on the cross for a wretched, miserable sinner like us, that his blood shed for me, and he was crucified on the cross. Not only that, that also that we can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this relationship, you cannot have this relationship with a dead Savior. He has to be alive. I cannot say I have a relationship with a dead person. But I can say I can have a relationship with a person who is alive. In the same way, we know that we have a relationship with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ because He is alive. If He is not alive, then our faith is useless. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 14 says, 1 Corinthians 15:14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." The shield of faith. So we put on our faith, this shield, on the person of Jesus Christ who is alive. As a live person, it is very interesting. The Puritans, when the early Puritans, the English Puritans, when they, today when people pray like they bow your head, they bow their heads, close their eyes, and they pray, right? That's not how the early Puritans prayed. The English Puritans, when they prayed, they opened their eyes, they lifted their eyes, and they prayed loud to a, like talking to a live person. Because God is alive. That's the way they prayed. Because they didn't pray, you know, they prayed aloud, and they didn't go and prayed in for everybody to see, but in their closet, praying aloud, because God is alive. You're praying to a live person. So the subjective faith is, now we know the objective faith, it is fixed on facts, what the Lord did. And the subjective faith is that it is seated in my heart, in my soul now. I will love my Lord for what He did. And I will follow the truth. This faith is called the shield of faith. That is the objective faith and the subjective faith. That is called basically the justifying faith or the saving faith. Alright? That's very important to understand. If you have only the objective faith, knowing everything, you're not saved. You need to have the subject, you need to come to the heart, the feelings, the emotions. So it's so important. This faith is compared to a shield, and this shield is going to protect us against heresies and against all kinds of hypocritical actions when we do, our heart should be convicted if they are hypocrites. And we should weep and fast and pray. And if you are not being convicted, I don't know whether you are even a Christian then. So that's why we should, our hearts should be convicted. And so important that this shield of arrows, let's see the heart now. This goes along so beautifully with the heart now. Enemy always like to shoot his arrows to the heart. Just like to the head, he like to get the heart. Because if you get the head or the heart, you're a dead man. What does the heart has to do? Heart has to do with your feelings, with your emotions, with your love. There are some who say they are Christians, but they have absolutely no feelings, no emotions, no love to the Lord at all. It's the same thing what we have been talking before. It goes so beautifully, linked one to another. Just like the soldiers' shields are linked to one another, these are all being linked. There's no love at all to the Lord. And Jesus said, in John chapter 14, verse 15, what did He say? That if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, Apostle Paul said, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Let him be an anathema. That's the strongest Greek word that has been used here. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. And many say in the mouth that they love the Lord. They can sing the hymns and praises. They can lift their hands up. Oh, but their behavior contradicts their beliefs. Huh? Many love the things of this world and the Lord. You know, it's amazing how the Puritans, why were they persecuted? Why were so many Puritans were persecuted? Why did the world hate the Puritans, the Reformers? Why? Because they loved their Lord so much that the world hated them. They loved the Lord so much, more than their lives, more than their own lives, they loved the Lord. So the world hated them. But there are so many people profess to be Christians. They get so excited. They get so emotionally excited of material things that are perishing, that are just going to be burned. So get excited of the worldly things, but not of the spiritual things. And when it comes to the spiritual things, they fall asleep. But if they see a nice movie with excitement, what they like, they're really excited. up. Because it's the flesh. You know, you can see how their passion is. Their passion is for the flesh, not for the spiritual things. And they get it, and a lot of people are trusting in their bank account, their saving account, you know. It's good. I'm in good standing now. You know, I don't have to worry. They forget reading the Bible. They meditate upon their wealth, their riches and comforts. But only when they are poor, that's the time they look for the Bible. Only time when they lose a job, oh, where's the Bible? I need to pray now. That's not Christianity. A Christian is a person who is content, whether you're rich or poor. You are serving the Lord no matter what. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure today? That's my question. Where is your treasure today? Where are you meditating? Where is your head? Where is your heart? That's the question. Is your treasure in the Lord Jesus Christ? The enemy will send his arrows of temptation to the heart. So you will not love the Lord. The enemy wants to take your love away from the Lord. Enemy wants to give you the world. And remember how Satan told Jesus Christ, he took him up to a high mountain, right? And said what? "I will give you all these things if you only bow down and worship me." But you know what? You might say, "I'm not worshiping Satan." Of course. There are a lot of people who will not worship Satan. But they're in Satan's side. If you don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are worshiping Satan. There are no three sides here. There is no side to say, "Well, I'm on Lord's side. I'm not worshiping Satan, so I'm in the middle." No, there is no middle ground. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are worshiping Satan. Because your priorities or somewhere else. Shield of faith protect us. What does the shield of faith do? The shield of faith, when the enemy brings those temptations, we get tempted all the time, don't we? Yeah, I get tempted all the time because when I go, even I want to use my credit card and buy something, even if I don't have, I want to get something. If I see something, I want to cover that. That's my flesh. But man, I praise God for the shield of faith. And sometimes I get so discouraged in living in a place that is not so comfortable. And doesn't have all the riches and the pleasures. Now, with all these things, Satan will, you know, he will shoot his arrows and say, "See, you should live like this. You should be more comfortable like this." He will tempt you in all directions. Praise God, I have the shield of faith. And I'm going, when you have the shield of faith, you're looking at Christ's riches. You're not looking at the world's riches. You're looking at Christ's riches. To the heavenly riches are much greater than the earthly riches. That is the shield of faith. You look through eternal, you look through spiritually and say, "My Lord, my God has prepared a heavenly place for me. And I'm going to go to paradise. I'm going to go to heaven. That's where my house is. That's where my place where I'm going to live forever and ever." Many people get caught up on these earthly things. They labor diligently on earthly things. You can see on TV sometimes, and God will just bring a small earthquake or a hurricane, all those things goes away. All what they have built, just sinking sand. No. You had to build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ. We should look to the heavenly riches where God has prepared for the pilgrim. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Just imagine. You know, think about it. Just think about it. If you are born to a rich family and your father is a millionaire, will you go and tell your co-workers and everybody else that my father is a millionaire? Huh? Moses was raised in a palace. He was adopted. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh. But he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. You know, that's the way we should think. Not in a fleshly way. And Moses chose to serve God through suffering with the people of God in the wilderness than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. That is putting on what? The shield of faith. Because you're looking. You have, enemy will come and tempt you. I'm amazed. Moses could have been tempted all the way through. Go to Pharaoh. Live a nice life in the palace. You'll be comforted. You know, you don't have to go through all these problems in the wilderness. My question is this. Does the enemy come and tempt you like that today for you or no? And what do you do? What do you do if the enemy is tempting? The greatest commandment is what? What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus also said, but whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy. It's not worthy of me. Whoever loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What did he say? Did he say that to abandon your father, to neglect your father and to love him? No, absolutely not. What he said is that we need to love him more than anybody else. My question is this. Do you love your husband more than Christ? That's the question. Do you love your wife more than Christ? Do you love your father and mother more than Christ? Do you love your children more than Christ? Now, answer these questions honestly. Because God can see your motives. You can answer me and say, well, I love Christ, but God can see your heart. And He knows the answer. Because your actions speaks louder than your words. Okay, so God cannot be mocked. It is Christ. Why is it that we should love Christ more than anybody else? Why? Anybody can say why? You should be able to say why that you love Christ more than anybody else. Because it is Christ who gave me life. It is Christ, Jesus, who loved me before the foundations of the world. It is Christ, Jesus, who pulled me out of the miry clay when I was sinking to the fires of hell. It was Christ, Jesus, who took the punishment on my behalf on the cross for my sins. He took the punishment on my behalf. It is Christ, Jesus, who forgave all my sins. And He dumped it at the very bottom of the ocean. It is Christ Jesus who gave me His righteousness so I can go to heaven with the righteousness of Christ. It is Christ Jesus who rose from the dead and He said, because I live, you live also. As He conquered death and sin, so one day, I'm going to be victorious, triumphant, through Christ Jesus. That's why we love Christ more than anybody else. Amen. Satan will aim his arrows. Now we are going down to the belly. Huh? Head, to the heart, to the belly. He will aim his arrows to the belly. Now you can see all these things, they are linked together. Belly, he will tempt you to get into the physical things, the physical food. Huh? more than spiritual food. People get excited in potlucks. They'll have a potluck and they get so excited in potlucks. They get excited when they go out for dinner in a restaurant. They get excited talking about the food for the stomach. They're so excited. They think about the physical food more than spiritual food. And they think and eat, how many times a day you eat? 3 times? Maybe some snacks in between? Huh? And maybe you want better foods and you're so concerned about your food? Let me ask you a question. How many times do you read the Word of God? How many times does the Word of God even come to your mind during the day? Do you meditate on the Word of God? Do you think about the Word of God? Now, if you love Christ, you should say, yes, I do. But where is the love of Christ here? And many are enemies shooting his arrows to the belly, and you're saying, all right, take it, I'll take it. And you're taking everything. He's shooting his arrows to the head, you're taking it. Shooting his arrows to the heart, you're taking it. There is no shield at all. And you're saying, enemy says, oh, look here, come on, eat this. And say, all right, I'll go and eat. I love that place. But what did Job say? Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Just imagine the man who is talking here. The man who is talking here is in painful with souls. Okay? He is going through agony and pain. Yet he can say, I have treasured his words more than my food on the table. If Job can say that, who is going through much pain and agony, how about you who are not going through pain and agony? God has given you a nice life. Well, the pastor is going to be responsible for what he is going to teach. And one day, God is going to make me into an account for what I teach from the pulpit. I have to give an account. But the people of the church here, you are going to be accountable to what you heard and what you are going to obey. You are going to be accountable. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The enemy will shoot his arrows to the belly, so you will eat a lot of food and you fall asleep. Huh? How many people come to church on a Sunday morning, they are falling asleep because they go to sleep on Saturday night too late? Saturday night, they go to bed too late because they watch a TV program or a movie or enjoy their flesh, and they have a lot of other things to do, and they're not even praying for the sermon that they're going to hear. They're not even excited. Their minds are far away from the word, the Lord. When Sunday comes, oh, it's like the time clock, huh? It's getting ready. Oh, I got to do this, this. It's like a job. That's not love. That's not excitement to the Lord. Absolutely not. The enemy will shoot his arrows to the legs, huh? And to the arms. When he shoots his arrows to the legs or the arms, you become what? Disabled. You cannot move. And those are the Christians who had no desire to serve God. They will simply stay at home, no desire to serve God, and serving God becomes a duty than a joy. It becomes a load of pressure. I gotta do this and all these things to the Lord. I cannot watch my favorite TV program. I cannot go shopping, I cannot do my stuff that I like to do, because you can see their love is for other things more than the law. Some Christians believe faith. They say, oh, I believe faith. And I know faith will bring a lot of peace and calmness. And they think that they can ride to heaven singing softly and tenderly, and they can sing their way to heaven in a calmness and peace. Oh, beloved, on the other hand, the shield of faith of the soldier gets hammered and battered by the enemy's arrows. Can you take your shield of faith and show to the Lord, Lord, look at my shield of faith. It is hammered and battered by the enemy. That comes every single day. The enemy is shooting his arrows without rest. He is shooting his arrows every single day to the pilgrim. Satan will not shoot his arrows. And you might say, well, I don't know that I'm in a battle. I don't even realize that I'm in a battle. Everything seems to be okay. Fine. No problem. Satan is not going to shoot his arrows if he's not offended. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you offend somebody really bad, that person is going to get mad at you, right? That is natural. It's the same way Satan will never shoot his arrows if you don't offend him. And if you don't make him mad, he will not shoot his arrows. And you can just live on this earth without any problems and go to hell. He's not going to come as a roaring lion to you, because maybe you're on Satan's side. Maybe you don't even know about it. These are the ones who are ashamed of Christ. These people are ashamed of Christ. They will not witness. They will not proclaim the gospel. They will not defend our Lord. In the church, they will act like saints. And in the world, they will act like the world. They are camouflage. They can act both ways. They have professed Christ, but they are ashamed of their profession. They will compromise with the unbelievers, conform to the world. Satan is not mad at them. And they don't even feel that they are in a battle. And they will say, I'm not fighting a battle. Everything is fine to me. But whenever you try to witness to somebody, whenever you try to tell the truth to somebody, you're going to offend somebody. That's where the battle starts. Whenever you try to proclaim the gospel, whenever you try to stand for the truth, whenever you be saying somebody says something not right, and you're not going to compromise and say, oh, by the way, sorry to hear about that. This is what the Word of God says. This is what I believe. That's where the battle starts. But if you're a compromising, pussyfooting Christian, looking for peace everywhere, there's no battle, you're on Satan's side. How many are professing to know Christ, and yet they are on their way to hell? How many are professing to be Christ, yet on their way to hell? They are on their way to hell. Lastly, the shield of faith, not only it quenches the fiery darts, but it also breaks the arrows. It's so strong, the shield of faith is so strong. Not only it quenches the fiery darts that is coming, but it also breaks the arrows of the enemy. It is a powerful shield, and this shield is not mine. This shield is of Christ, who is the protector of my soul. He is the captain of my salvation. It is a powerful shield. It is the shield of Christ and His cross. And His shield can break all the fiery darts of the enemy. Because I'm hand-holding the shield of Christ. It is Christ's shield that He has given me. the splendor of this shield can even blind the princes of darkness. It is a splendor. It is a heavenly shield. This shield is not. It is not made in on this earth, but it's a heavenly shield. It is the faith that lives. Our faith through Christian, man, I'll tell you, as Christians, if you are a true Christian, you will be bombarded with temptation from every direction. As a soldier, sometimes we do fall into sin, right? Sometimes we do get hurt, because soldiers always get hurt. So when, as soldiers, when we do get hurt, when we get wounded, oh, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go. He's a doctor. He's our healer. And we go to Him, and He will heal our wounds as we confess our sins in a genuine way to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And He will heal our wounds. It is so, we get bombarded. If you're a true Christian, you get tempted more than anybody else. You get tempted. Yeah, because we are called to walk this narrow road, living in a worldly environment with all the pleasures of this life. So when people say, oh, let's see all the entertainment and the pleasures, and you're standing on the word of God, and you say no, it's good. Going into a battle there, right there. And we are living under pressure. Mountains are piled upon it, and it looks like it's going to break us down, but it defies the powers of all the pressures, and all the hell's fiery darts are being defiled, because even we live in the midst of death, but it has been swallowed up in victory. Satan can throw all sorts of accusation in our pathway, but beloved, it dies at the feet of our great advocate, Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.